10, and we'll get straight into scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 is where we're going to be. But, I was talking to Brother Donnie earlier, and there's an old hymn called Faith of Our Fathers. I hadn't looked at it in a long time. I asked him if he knew how to play it. We may sing it sometime, but it says, Faith of our fathers living still in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark, we're still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's faith if they, like them, could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we still strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, mankind shall then indeed be free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. And then faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too, as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. You know, it's an amazing thing when we think about that, and we think of what's been sacrificed so many times throughout history. What people have had to do in order to hold on to their faith, and what people have, even today, are suffering to hold on to their faith. And when I preached out of Hebrews chapter 11, I was giving you the answer before I gave you the question. So we've looked at the answer, and now we're going to look at the question, is kind of the way we'll do this. So Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. He says, But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then he goes on into chapter 11 and says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then we go on and we study and we see the dynamics of faith, and then we see faith in action in our forefathers after the Christian faith, going back all the way to Abraham and even before that, Enoch and you could say Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve were given the promise that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And that's the promise they had to cling to, and they did. And so, from what we can read in the Bible, we know that they did. So we look at that, and we look at so many people that have suffered so many things. And like I said, I gave you the answer before I gave you the question. And the question was, what are you going to do about where you are in life right now? What are you going to do about where you are in life right now? You know, we've had prayer requests. We had a prayer request of a young lady who's got cancer. We had a prayer request for a family who had a daughter who committed suicide. We have a prayer request for a pastor and his wife who are leaving family and friends and ministry and everything and coming down here to Mississippi to take a church. And not they're not coming because they believe that that there was problems and they wanted to escape it. They're coming because they believe this is where God wants them to be at this point in their life. You know? And so when we look at all these things, we all have circumstances in our life which may be dire, it may be serious, it may be not. But we all have some serious things in our life, don't we? We all have to deal with it, and we look at the scripture here, and he's writing to a bunch of people who are now beginning, and this is the book of Hebrews, so this book was written to the Hebrews. You have to understand the context. Paul has been preaching to the Gentiles all this time. He calls himself, and the scripture calls him, the apostle of the Gentiles. And he taught, when he came up to Jerusalem and he spoke to Peter and James and John and others that were there, and he came up there with Barnabas and came up there with Silas at different times. When he came up there and told them about how he was preaching and everything like that, they gave him the right hand of fellowship, and they had questions about, okay, what do we do with the Gentiles? Do we have to bring them into Judaism? What are we going to do with that? And they decided those questions and everything like that, and they decided that Paul would go to the Gentiles while they went to the circumcision, to the Jews. And now, but now Paul, God has moved Paul to begin to write to the Hebrews. He's writing back to his brethren after the flesh. He's been among the Gentiles and he's writing there, and he cares. And you know what? That ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us something. You know, God may tell us to do certain things, and they may take us certain places, but we don't want to neglect where we came from, do we? You know, while we take the gospel to the world, we might want to take it to our own kinfolk. Something to think about. But when we look at this passage of scripture, he's talking to these Hebrews, and they have begun to step out by faith, and many of them have begun to believe, and they're in a quandary, because these are the people to whom God gave the oracles. These are the people to whom God committed the Old Testament, and they kept it, and God used them to keep it and preserve it for us, by the way. And there they are, and they've been Jews all their life, and they've been living by faith, and now they are confronted with the reality of, if I trust Christ as my Savior, if I publicly profess Christ as the Messiah, I'm going to suffer trouble. They're going to kick me out of the synagogue. They're not going to let me go up to the temple. They're not going to allow this. It's going to cause trouble with my family. It's going to cause me trouble in the town where I live. And he tells them, he says, call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. He said, remember. You know, there was a time when they had to deal with these questions right then and there. And now, over time, they're still, the pressure hasn't let up on them. Even though they've learned to adapt, that pressure is always there. And it's a dilemma that every Christian faces. You make a profession of faith, you get saved, and boy, amen, hallelujah, I'm ready to go, ready to serve the Lord. You're full of zeal, and then you have to meet the battle head on, and you get in the battle, you become weary and tired, and all of a sudden there's that temptation to just take a step back to where you came from, knowing that where you came from wasn't the right place. But it's more comfortable, it's easier. It's difficult. But he says this to them, he says, call remembrance former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. They saw what Paul was going through when they put him in jail, and they saw that, and they were there, and they said, "Boy, this man is a miracle of God. He was a blasphemer and a murderer and an idolater. He was all those things. He was persecuting Christians, but God saved him. And now, for his faith, he's now in jail. He needs help. We got to help him. We got to help him." And at the same time that they were trying to do something and give to help Paul, others were coming in and on that basis were taking what was theirs. And they said, you know what? We can still give and do what we can to help, because they may take everything, but they can't take what we have in heaven. They can't take what God gives us. And so we can still have compassion on Paul, because God will take care of us, and the things that are most important nobody can take away. We know that we have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Everything we have here is subject to decay, isn't it? Right now, we're worried about whether our money is going to be worth anything, aren't we? You know, people have labored and worked all their lives and to try to build up for retirement and when old age and everything else, and been good and thrifty, and that's all good and wonderful to do. But now they're sitting at the precipice of wondering, well, if the inflation keeps it going up and we get hyperinflation, what's going to happen? That money's going to be worth nothing. You know, my $1 million may not be enough to pay the rent, or pay the house note, or pay the bills, or whatever it may be. And can inflation get that high? Certainly it can. If you've ever been overseas, you know that inflation can get that high. And yes, people got through it, but they lost a lot getting through that too. Because the funny thing about governments, they always seem to want more control and more power, not less. And if you live anywhere else, you know that they're a lot more restrictive, and we're becoming that way. But you know, they said, hey, they can take this, but they can't take what God gives us. They can't take our reward in heaven. They can't take our inheritance. They can't take any of that. They can't touch it. There was a time when that's the way they felt. But now, they're wavering. New Jews, they've been in the synagogue, they've been in the temple all their life, and they've been there, and they've been faithful, and they've done what they were supposed to do, and now they understand that Jesus is the Messiah, and they put their trust in Jesus, and now they're being cut off from everything. Cut off from family and friends, cut off from the temple, cut off from those things. And Paul's trying to get them to understand and see that the sacrifice of Christ supersedes all those sacrifices. And they've got to come to terms with that. Some of them are wavering, and he tells them, he says, cast not away your confidence, therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. He said, don't throw it away. He said, you had that confidence before. But now, you're getting tired and you're getting weary and you're having to suffer the discomfort and the attacks, and now you're wondering, man, how do I make it through this world? How do I do that? And the answer is by faith, right? The answer is by faith, but the question is that, well, how do I live now where I'm at? How do I accomplish this? There was a theologian many years ago by the name of Francis Schaeffer, and he had a series called How Shall We Then Live? And he talked about it, and I don't endorse Francis Schaeffer as in all of his doctrinal stands, but I mean, he did ask some good questions and good thoughts in that as he talked about it. But he was using the idea of history and the idea of particularly the Christians under the Roman Empire and dealing with what they had to deal with. And these Hebrews are those people, and they're we can, like he did, we can draw the parallels between them and us in some ways, even though most of us, to be honest, most we got was a little bit of disgruntled family members, and finally they figured out that, oh well, you know, they're just going to be one of those religious people, and we'll just have to live with it, you know. And sometimes it's worse, sometimes it's better, and you know, sometimes there's tolerance, sometimes there's not when it comes to faith, and especially when it's not, it gets harder on you. And then society gets harder, and then the demands of everyday life gets harder. I mean, we face the same thing. You know, if you're cut off from the temple, and now all of a sudden you can't do business somewhere, it's like us, the thing. You know, there are a lot of our business practices and things that our government does. You know, when COVID came, you know how many, at least to the reports that I have seen, and if somebody's seen something contrary, that's fine and everything like that, but of the reports that I have seen, that of the request for religious exemption for the COVID vaccine in the military, do you know how many of our men and women were granted a waiver, a religious waiver? Zero. And many of them lost rank or had to get out or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of different things that happen. But, you know, the business practices, a lot of today's business practices, they don't line up with the Bible. And you have to learn to navigate all that, and it gets difficult, and there's always that temptation to compromise. We could go on and on, family life, work life, interactions with the government, interactions with our neighbors. I can tell you one thing about being the pastor in a small neighborhood, and everybody knows that you're a pastor, and you put your faith out on display and everything. You won't tell you about being under scrutiny by a bunch of people, living in a fishbowl. You know, everything my kids did, if my kids did anything wrong, boy, it was just terrible. And then when I dealt with my children about their wrongdoing, anybody found out about it, I was terrible. And it was always an amazing thing when we did that, and you know, people would hate our guts, but when they needed help, that's where they came. They came to us. And so many times like that, and we were so much, so often the subject of, and how do I know that we were the subject of people's gossip and things like that? Because their kids would tell my kids what their mama and daddy said about us. And I mean, we've lived through that. And it gets discouraging. And we understand that there's all types of things that we could go through life and we could talk about, but life can get difficult sometimes, and we get discouraged about what's going on in our life, and it causes us not to respond by faith, but to respond in the way we grew up. Respond as a lost person by what we see, what we hear, what other people think, what other people say, what other people do, instead of living by faith. But Paul tells them, call to remembrance. He's saying, remember. Don't forget the victories before. Don't forget the joy you had before. Don't forget you had it before. It's still available. How'd you get it in the first place? Well, you got it by faith. And then he goes into Hebrews chapter 11. You got it by believing God. And he goes into Hebrews chapter 11 and he tells him about these things. And he talks about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Rahab, Joshua, and so many others that he talks about, and all of these things that the things that they did, and he talks about all these things in verse 39 of chapter 11. He said, "And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." In other words, God waited for you. Now he's asking us to wait on others. Others who lived by faith and stayed the course and did what they were supposed to do. God waited on. He didn't say, okay, that's enough. I'm shutting it off today. No, it was extended to us. And now to our children and our children's children and everything. And we ought to be willing to wait on those that would believe and still live by faith so that they have us for an example. But we can't do that unless we remember. If you go and you turn with me to the book of the Psalms, and I want to go to Psalm 78. Let me get over there real quick. Psalm 78. It says this in verse 1. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and the strength and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God and keep His commandments." And he talks about, he goes through and he says that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And he goes on, he talks about, as he goes on and talks about it, he goes and talks about all of the things that he did there, and the things that their failures and God's compassion and God's mercy and all the things that he did. But he tells them to remember. He tells them to remember. Remember what has been wrought by faith, not in your life and the lives of others. So when we're discouraged, the answer obviously is faith. But we need to understand and we need to comprehend that what we do now, how do we live right now where we're at? And this is very simple preaching. This isn't any big mystery I'm giving you. But where you are right now, to respond to whatever it is that you're going through by faith. to continue to trust God. And I know maybe it sounds like a broken record here, but it needs to be said, because if there's anything this nation needs and this world needs, it's people that believe God. It's people that don't quit on God. It's people that remember. Do you remember the day you got saved? If you don't, you got a problem. If you can't remember the day you got saved, I'm not saying you remember the actual date and time. You know, people, it's not necessary that you remember the date and time. When I got saved, I didn't think to look at the clock. I was just happy to be saved. Brother Larry, when Jesus saved my soul, I was just tickled to death. I didn't worry about what time it was. I had a preacher say one time, if you don't know the day or the hour, and the hour you got saved, you're not saved. And I'm like, wait a minute, what time did I get saved? I didn't know the time, but I knew I got saved. I knew I trusted Christ as my Savior. I know whom I have believed. And if you know the day and time, hallelujah, write it down, mark it down. I'm going to have to wait till I get to heaven and say, Lord, what time was it? Because I know it was in the evening. But I don't know exactly what time it was. Yes, sir?
He's the keeper of the time.
He's the keeper of the time. Amen. I'm glad, because I'm obviously not very good at it. But praise the Lord. But the reality of that is, you should know when you got saved. You may not know the details in the sense of the date or the time of day, other than the general time of day, what it was, but you ought to know you got saved. You ought to know that there was a time in your life where you personally trusted Christ as your Savior, where you personally called on Him and asked Him to save you. And if you don't have that in your heart and mind, and you don't know that's not a fixed mark in your life, where you say, this day I trust Christ my Savior. If you don't know that, then you need to get saved. Because you can't just know about it and get saved. You have to act on the knowledge. That's why Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. So we have to know that. But do you know, do you remember when you got saved? I do. I remember when I got saved. And I know He saved my soul. I know what happened in my heart. I know what God did in me. And I know the changes that He wrought in me even in that moment. I know what He did. And so, you know, I was there. I know it and I remember it. But in that one instant, just believing gave me joy and peace. I wasn't afraid of death anymore. I knew I was saved. I knew I was going to heaven. I had God's promise. In that moment, I knew in myself that I had a better and enduring substance in heaven. That day, and since that time, and as I've gone through my Christian life, I've had to learn to meet every situation by faith, and I've had learned how to make the decisions that I made based upon my relationship with God and faith, that regardless of what happened to me from men, that doing the right thing was going to have a blessing attached to it, that it would have reward attached to it, that it would make a difference. And it has. You know, I've never regretted telling the truth. I've regretted the way some people react to the truth, but I've never regretted telling the truth. I've told the truth before, and people have decided they didn't want anything to do with me ever again for simply telling the truth. I've told the truth before, and people didn't believe me. And still to this day, some may think that I lied to them when I told them the honest truth. I regret that. I wish it wasn't so. But I can't control that, can I? But I've got the assurance in my heart that I did the right thing. I've got the assurance in my heart that I did what God wanted me to do. And I could use that to anything. I mean, we have so many battles that we fight, and it's so easy to become discouraged, and we have to fall back on our faith. I love reading the Bible because I get to see what God has done for others before me. I love reading history of Bible-believing Christians because I see what God has done for others before me. I like reading about people like George Mueller and John Payton and David Brainerd and William Tyndale, and I could go on and on. I like reading about preachers of the faith, good and godly preachers of the faith. And I love reading their stories, and I love reading what God has done for them, God did for them. And it's just an amazing thing. You look at so many things that goes on, and I read about that. But, I don't just read about it. I've experienced it. And I've seen some amazing things that God has done. I've had some situations in my life that I figured, well, there's no recovering from this, but that wasn't true because there's a God in heaven. I've had situations in my life where I thought sure I was going to lose my job because of a stand I took. And lo and behold, I haven't missed a day of work. Since at least 1981. Other than take vacation. I try to do a good job and everything like that, and I try to make sure I get everything done I'm supposed to do, and that all that counts for a lot. But I know a lot of good hard workers that didn't have any work. And just all I can say is glory to God. Praise the Lord. I go on and talk about all manner of things that I've had to deal with. I've had times where God provided for us miraculously in ways that from corners totally unexpected, when nobody else knew we had a need. Just an amazing thing that God does. I've had times where I've had a few times where when we were growing up as a young family and everything, we've had the children so sick that we were kind of scared whether they were going to make it. And Sister Denise and I sat down and prayed. And God answered prayer. We've had times where we called the doctor and said, hey, we have a problem here, and we don't know what's going on, but it's not looking good. And they said, well, if they'd asked the thing, they said, if it gets any worse and everything like that, get them to the hospital. And then have the hospital, we'd sit there and we'd begin praying and everything like that. And next morning, the hospital would call and say, why did we bring the child in? Because the doctor called and said, oh, you might have a child coming in. They want to know why we didn't bring the child come in. Well, it wasn't necessary. And from their perspective, they said, oh, well, it probably wasn't as bad as they thought it was. But they weren't there, were they? From my perspective, I know God answered prayer. And those are the type of things I need to remember. I need to remember what God's done for other people. I need to remember what God's done for me. I need to call to remembrance those things. You see, if you'll be honest with yourself, you will find that the greatest times and the most wonderful blessings and times of your life is when you just trusted God. When you, like we talked about this morning, faith is the substance of things, the substance of things hoped for. When you and I, we have that desire and that hope and that trust that God is going to do what He promises. And then as we grow in grace and we learn and we walk with God, that faith, that substance of that which we hope for, that trust that we extended to God, we find out that God is faithful, and that faith becomes the evidence of things not seen. I can trust God for this. I trusted God and He kept His word. And yes, I don't understand a lot of things. I can't see the future. I've never seen heaven. I've never seen Jesus face to face. I've never seen the face of God. But I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know Him. That's why Brother Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. He said, hey, if it takes suffering to get to know Him, that's good enough for me. And everything that we face is just another opportunity to get to know God better. But we'll only know that if we trust Him. If we trust Him. So I don't know where you're at today. You might be in a crisis in your life and I don't know about it. There are times that we have issues and maybe we have a crisis of faith even, that we get to the point where we're saying, you know, I'm just questioning everything that I've ever learned about God, and I'm just not sure because of some circumstance in your life or because of the way you feel at the moment. The funny thing about feelings, though, is they change pretty quick, pretty regular, don't they? I mean, they change real quick, you know. I mean, I could change your feelings in a heartbeat. All I have to do is come kick you in the knee, and your feelings are going to change real quick. It's just that simple. Feelings change, but we have crises of faith. We feel a certain way, and so often we have to get ourselves from under that burden of feelings and just try to look past it and say, okay, I'm going to trust God anyway. I don't feel like trusting God, but I'm going to. I don't feel like doing the right thing, but I'm going to. And that's the point where we learn how faithful God is. We have a circumstance that seems too great to overcome, and we say, and there's all these temptations to try to make an end round, not go the way God wants us to go, not do the right thing, and trust God as we do it. And we get to that point, and we get to the point of those circumstances being the reason why we decide not to trust God. And I'm going to just do it the way the world says, or do it the way mama said or daddy said. It doesn't make any difference if you know that it's against what God says. I'm just going to do it that way because, you know, I'm just going to put my trust in them instead of trusting God. Because, and the devil will chime in and say, yep, see where God puts you? See where you are right now? If God loved you, He wouldn't let you go through this. How we feel, the circumstances. I remember Brother Jim Brown used to always tickle me because people would ask him, he'd say every time I talked to somebody, I said, well, how you doing? They say, well, Brother Brown, under the circumstances. So he finally got to where every time somebody said, under the circumstances, you know, under circumstances, I'm doing all right. He'd say, under the circumstances, what are you doing under there? But those are the things that cause us to not trust God. And God says the answer to when you're faced with that is to remember. To remember. And memory is a pretty important thing. You know, it is so important that one day, for those who reject Christ as their Savior, who reject the mercy of God and the grace of God, who refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, that one day you go into Luke chapter 18 and you see that story of the rich man and Lazarus, and you see that rich man calling out to Abraham and asking him to relieve his suffering and relieve his pain and his anguish. And Abraham says to him, "Son, remember. Remember." You know, when we sent these out, on the one side is an invitation to church. On the other side is an invitation to heaven. Those that reject that invitation, I don't matter if they reject the invitation to church, but if they reject the invitation to heaven, they're going to remember this piece of paper. They're going to remember it. One day, they're going to say, "I didn't know." And he's going to say, "Son, remember. Remember?" Remembering things can be a great blessing. It can be the difference between failure and, you know, God tells us of all the things He's done. We have Hebrews chapter 11, and He's telling these people here, these Jews here, these Hebrews, He's saying, look back. Look back at what God did for those people who trusted Him. Look back at the people you... Look at Abraham. Father Abraham. Look at Abraham. Look at Enoch. Look at Noah. Look at Moses. Look at Daniel. Look at Jephthah. Look at Barak. Look at Gideon. Look at Samuel. Look at David. Look at these people. You read what they went through. You read of their failures when they refused to trust God. And you read of their victories when they trusted God. Look at these people that were there. Who some of them, in this world, nothing really worked out. It says that, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us might, should not be made perfect. In other words, God waited for us, and our job is just to live right, do what God wants us to do, to serve God in this generation, to serve our generation by the will of God, to live by faith, to trust Him, regardless of situation or circumstances, to trust Him regardless of how we feel, to simply just live by faith, step out by faith, one step at a time, one day at a time, one moment in time. That's our job, wherever you are. And you know, the sad thing about it is, people are quitting in droves in the United States of America, and we have it easier than 90% of the world. maybe near 100%. I don't know of too many places where we have so much. I mean, as bad as our economy is, you do realize that there are people that we deem as poor or looked at as rich in other nations. Amazing, isn't it? I mean, I don't advocate any type of Social Security and benefits for illegal aliens that come in and break our laws to come in. I don't advocate that, but I can understand why they do. If they come in and they're going to get, you know, if you're living on Social Security and you're getting $1,000 a month, you know, that may seem like not a lot to us who've known such wealth. But to them, they've never had $1,000 a month. A lot of them never had $1,000 a month in their entire life. They're used to doing without, and now they have more money than they've ever had before. No wonder they're coming in droves. And it's our foolish ideas, but I mean, just think about these people. Think about what they will risk just to get here. I mean, they'll sell themselves into the hands of known criminals, known murderers, just for a chance to get here. Boy, I sure wish we had that conviction about our faith. That I'm going to live my faith regardless of the consequences, because it doesn't matter what happens, what I have to go through to live by faith. When I get to the end, it's going to be good. It's going to be better. That's the type of faith we need to have. And he says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Jesus is coming. Don't worry about that. He's coming. Our job is just be ready. And he said, but when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what on the earth? Faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You know, we don't, just like he was telling them, you don't want to go back to Judaism. You don't want to go back to that. You want to continue with Christ. We don't want to go back to the way we were before. We want to continue with Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the services down today. Father, You know our hearts, and You know what we face, and You know the battles that are to come. You know what's coming even when we don't. And Lord, we've seen enough in the Scripture and in history, and yea, even in our own lives, that we ought to trust You implicitly. But so often, we get to looking not at the things which are unseen, but the things which are seen, the things that are temporal. Help us to look beyond that. Help us to look beyond our feelings, look beyond our circumstances, look beyond everything, and just believe Your word and Your promises. Believe in You. Believe in Your character. Believe in Your goodness and Your holiness and Your justice. Lord, believe enough to be willing to wait on others and to share the message of salvation, the gospel, to live right. Help us to Father that end, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.